Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
And won't you join me in reading this month's affirmation, which is up here. I advocate for freedom of thought. And that goes along with our theme for July, which is, as you heard, creativity in action. Thinking about that and freedom and this month, I remembered an article I read in the Science of Mind magazine for this month. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Science of Mind magazine. I've heard that it's the magazine in this format and this topic that has been the longest in print. So a magazine from our denomination, it's got daily guides in it and beautiful articles. And the article I want to read to you is written by Reverend Mike Misando, who was here recently speaking to us. You may remember he came from Denver, Mile High, and he came to speak to us. And this article is by him. It's July, which means fireworks, unhappy canines, cookouts, bare feet by the river, patriotic songs, American flags flying in front of houses, and more references to the founding fathers than any other time of the year. I love a good barbecue as much as the next person, and I think it's important to honor the history of the place where you're from. Yet, I also realize this holiday is incredibly complex. I believe deeply in the ideals our country was founded on, freedom, liberty, justice for all. And at the same time, I'm clear on the fact that the all our founding fathers spoke to really meant a tiny fraction of the population at the time. Let's be real. Around the time the United States became an independent nation, less than 6% of the population was actually allowed to vote. Just shy of 20% of the population, roughly 900,000 people, were in slavery and obviously not free. This number grew to around 4 million at the start of the Civil War. Women were not allowed to vote until 1920. During World War II, some of my family members and countless fellow members of the Japanese-American community were essentially jailed in internment camps by this nation, their own nation. Today, there are still countless ways in which freedom does not exist for all. So making the day on which we celebrate United States independence tied to the premise of freedom is complicated. Yet we can celebrate striving toward greater freedom for all and seeking to create a country and a world that works for everyone. During this month in which we focus on patriotism and freedom, I choose to turn my heart and mind toward the leaders in this country and around the world who have brought freedom to bear for more and more of us. The legacy of freedom for all transcends America's founders. Bringing more freedom and dignity for everyone is the work of many generations and part of the spiritual path. It requires that we all discover our deep interconnectedness and work for something greater than our individual selves. In doing so, we discover that there is a creative power that allows us to continually bring forth into form a world that is more and more reflective of the divine. A lovely article. And it reminded me to ask you to suggest that if you are concerned about the state of freedom for all in our nation today, that you might want to visit, join our diversity discussion group that takes place right here at the center. This group is in its third week of reading a book titled White Fragility. And it's not necessary that you be reading the book to attend. You can just show up on July 14th, that's when their next meeting is, to explore the places in our society where freedom for all has not yet become a reality. The group has a table out in the social hall, so you can check in with them and ask them questions about the sort of things that they talk about and what it's like. So again, our theme for July is creativity in action, which is a pathway to freedom. And our affirmation is, I advocate for freedom of thought. And my question is, whose freedom of thought are we talking about? Well, today we're talking about personal freedom. You know, the freedom of thought that nobody can restrict or take away from anyone else. So I have to tell you a parable. I call it the parable of the pickpocket. So this is a real story, and I want to see if I can get the story right. I want to tell it in such a way that I don't influence your or my freedom of thought. All right. Yeah, I wrote it down so I could get it right. I was standing on a platform at a train station. I witnessed a pickpocketing. A person who was well-dressed by my standards walked casually up alongside a group of people on the platform. The group were speaking a different language to most other people around them. The first person dropped their hand into the shoulder bag of one of the people chatting in the larger group and swiftly removed a purse. I watched the event from inside the train where I was sitting, looking through the window. One of the people in the larger group on the platform noticed what happened and cried out in their own language loudly, and then reached for the lifted purse, which was now in the pickpocket's shoulder bag. Are you with me? The pickpocket shouted back in their own language and started hitting the outstretched hand of their accuser and began to flee. Then the platform full of people seemed to wake up in a muddle of shouts and activity. At that point, the train upon which I was sitting pulled out of the station. The end. Now, this is where your creative freedom comes in. How did your imagination create the scene? Where did it take place? What was the gender of the pickpocket? What was their age, their nationality, their ethnicity? What did they look like? What was the language of the victim group? And in your imagination, what happened next? Or even better, what did you want to happen? See, I tell this story to illustrate that our imagination is very creative and it can create scenes with meaning from very little details. Each one of us here probably has a different image of what happened, and that may be based on our conditioning. And that's one way of being creative. But is it really free? I think freedom, when it comes to the use of our minds, is about going beyond our conditioning. I think it's about noticing, when am I automatically creating images and meaning out of habit and not out of creativity? So our question today might be this: where does my mind go automatically, and is that the best place for it? Our book of the month, The Sun Does Shine by Anthony Ray Hinton, is a beautiful illustration of taking the mind off of the automatic cycle and mindfully, purposefully selecting the creative mode setting. The author, Anthony Ray Hinton, was imprisoned for a murder he did not commit and put into prison on death row to await his execution. And by the way, Anthony Ray Hinton is coming to our center in August for an event that is open to the public to tell his story. And if you want to know more about him, today after the service, we're showing a short 4-minute video with him talking about it. And this is the sort of event you can invite friends and neighbors to. And tickets, of course, will be on sale through our Stepping Stones bookstore. Here are some of the words from his book, The Sun Does Shine. Someday I was going to walk out of here, but until then, I was going to use my mind to travel the world. I had so many places to go and people to see and things to learn. I could leave the row in my mind, and now I was going to show these guys that they could leave too. I remember being in school and reading a book about California and getting so lost in it, I swear I could smell the salt water of the Pacific Ocean. I realized that the state of Alabama could steal my future and my freedom, but they couldn't steal my soul or humanity. Now, these ideas expressed here speak for themselves, and they resemble ideas that you and I have been studying for years. This idea that we have freedom of thought, even in those moments when we don't have other freedoms, such as social, political, or economic freedom. And not only that, there is this idea that not only can we dream, but we can dream beyond the facts of our lives. And not only that, it turns out that our dreams and our thoughts and our imagination have access to a power that is creative. One of the very first catchphrases I encountered when I came to the Center for Spiritual Living was one you may be familiar with. It goes something like this: you can change your life by changing your mind. No matter that it's not as simple as it sounds, no matter that I had no idea how to change my mind, there was something about that statement, that catchphrase, that gave me hope. I wanted to latch onto it. It reminded me of the New Testament phrase from Romans. Here's the King James Version. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, to me, it means don't settle for what you've always thought. Be creative. In other words, don't go the way of the crowd. Well, not always. Create a new direction. In other words, don't give up, even when everyone else has given up and are telling you how bad things are. In other words, keep your mind alert, alive, awake, and enthusiastic no matter what. Why? So that you and I can prove, demonstrate the reality of life, freedom, inclusion, equality, goodness, kindness, beauty, truth, oneness, and courage, and vision. So I latched onto that idea that I could change my life by changing my mind. And I had to learn how to do that. So I went to classes like the wonderful class you heard Nancy talk about, 10 effortless spiritual practices. I went and I learned. I did affirmations. I did affirmative prayer. I spoke to myself in the mirror. I corrected my self-talk. I made vision boards. I practiced forgiveness. I questioned my thinking. I went to therapy. I got a prayer partner and I took more classes. You see, at the time, I was going through a rough spot and I needed some relief. And slowly, little bit by little, this inner work did turn me around and things got better. Frankly, the most difficult part of all of that work I found was to let go of and move past anger, hurt, resentment, and despair so that I could free up my mind to do what Ray Hinton said, and that was to travel around the world of possibilities. I took my courage from people who had gone before me, people who had to change their minds, the direction of their minds. They had to change it even before their circumstances changed. Just like Ray Hinton is telling us, before he was released, he had to be free. One of our community members, Margaret Howe, sent me a poem. The poem is by Jack Gilbert, and I want to read you some words of the poem. It talks about the paradox of life, how we have, on one hand, the reality of suffering in the world, and at the same time, on the other hand, we have the reality of beauty and rejoicing, the simultaneous paradox of being, and how we are not to forsake one for the other. Here are the words. Sorrow everywhere, slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving someplace, they are starving somewhere else with flies in their nostrils. But we enjoy our lives because that's what God wants. Otherwise, the mornings before summer dawn would not be made so fine. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor woman at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness in their future, smiling and laughing while somebody in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta, and the women laugh in the cages of Bombay. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of this world. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. If the locomotive of the Lord runs us down, we should give thanks that in the end it had magnitude. We must admit there will be music despite everything. Oh, that one line. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. Ooh, I got to think about that. When I give all of my attention to the things that afflict me, well, that is to use only part of my creative power. I must also dream. I must also imagine, I must also affirm, and I must rejoice, and I must vision, and I must create with my imagination. I must stubbornly see a world that works for everyone until, as Ray Hinton says, I can taste the salt water of that ocean of possibility. I guess nobody would have blamed Anthony Ray Hinton for being angry, for staying angry, even if he couldn't find a way to move past his hurt or despair, he would have been justified. And still the words of that Jack Gilbert poem echo in my mind. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. At some point, I have to decide. Stephen Kotler, in his book West of Jesus, talks about that moment, making a decision in which direction to go when the decision becomes absolutely necessary. He writes these words: "The things I was choosing not to do were starting to add up to a whole other life, a life I really didn't want to live." I'll read that again. "The things I was choosing not to do were starting to add up to a whole other life, a life I really didn't want to live." And it made me think about times when I've got myself into a stuck place. You know, less because I didn't know what to do and more because I knew exactly what to do. I'd been taught, but I couldn't, it seemed, for whatever reason. And in times like those, here's the question that I hate to ask myself. So I'm going to share it with you. Because after all, it can't be a mistake that you're here today. Maybe you showed up specifically to hear this question, like it or not. Here it is. What do you know you should be doing? You know that thing that if you started doing it right away, you know it would immediately bring forth a different direction for the quality of your life? Or another way of reframing the question, what does your heart keep telling you to do that you keep ignoring? Or what feelings are you denying? What dreams are you abandoning? What are you busying yourself up with so much that you have a very good reason to not do what you know you ought to do? When I'm in a stuck place in life, and I think that that stuckness is a final life sentence, it can feel like I'm lost. It can feel like spirit has abandoned me. It can feel like life is unjust and random. And yet I've learned that if I can settle down and really get honest with myself, I will find many times that I have stopped listening to my own soul's wisdom. I have stopped listening to the prompting of my heart. I've stopped dreaming. I've stopped using my mind to travel the world of possibilities. And I want to be mindful of that. I want to be mindful not to settle. I want to remember what I've been taught, that my mind is a point of activity within the mind of creation itself. I want to remember what I've been taught, that my imagination is the tool that I use to sow seeds of renewal and new direction. I want to remember not to accept any circumstance that I find myself in as if it were a final script. Not for me and not for others, even though they may be unjustly imprisoned or inhumanely detained. I bring to you for our closing the words of a hymn that were written by Robert Wadsworth Lowry. It was later adapted by Pete Seeger and then made famous by the artist Enya. So I invite you to breathe in and exhale, letting your eyes close as you consider these words. My life goes on in endless song above earth's lamentations. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? While though the tempest loudly roars, I hear the truth, it liveth. And though the darkness round me close, songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? In the infinity of life where I am, all is whole, for the full Spirit, the living Spirit Almighty, is present in its undiluted form everywhere. I identify myself with that everywhere present, all-powerful, creative mind, and I identify every person here with it too. And through that shared identity, I feel my oneness with all. And I open my heart and my life experience to the flow of its instruction. I let myself be open to the complex, paradoxical mystery of all being, and I embrace all of my feelings and all of my experience and all of life, while at the same time rededicating myself to rejoicing, to helping, to connecting, to expressing, and to dreaming of a world of connectivity, kindness, and compassion. I celebrate, too, that there is a spiritual law that is responding to me all of the time, even now when I speak these words. And so I joyfully look forward to inspiration from within and from around me, guiding me in what to do and how to show up. And I release this word with gladness in my heart by saying together, and so it is. I invite you to take a deep breath in with me like this. And sigh. We use the movement of breath to make a transition to that part of our service, our spiritual practice, which is called circulation. The spiritual practice of circulation includes receiving, celebrating, acknowledging, gratitude, giving, and so much more. So today, as you participating in that aspect of giving, I invite you to connect also with the receiving that will take place when others benefit from the center that we are creating in generations to come, and to celebrate the beauty of being able to give and receive. So I ask the ushers to stand, and won't you please prepare your gift by taking it in your hand, or if you gave electronically, place your open hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your giving, and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.